Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everybody this morning. It's a beautiful day out there. If you like sunshine and snow, but it's a beautiful day anyway. Announcements are in your bulletin. I don't think there's anything new in there. We have council meeting at 2:00 today. Wednesday's schedule is pretty typical. Thursday, the Bible study will be at 10:00 at Union. And I'll be happy to have another one anytime. All you have to do is let me know what a good time would be. If you're interested in love songs, I've agreed to sing love songs at the Senior Center at noon on Friday. So, the things I get myself into, isn't it? I'm a ding-a-ling besides everything else. I guess it's that word. It starts with an N, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It starts there. Saturday, we'll have a church council retreat from 9 to noon. And next Sunday, we go to Amy Holt's. So are there other announcements that need to be made? Then the service continues with the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Gather us in.
Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us.
us in all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bones.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Victory for our God over the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and the power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated.
Today's first reading is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Shortly after the return of Israel from exile in Babylon, the people were troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fasts. God reminds them that outward observance is no substitute for gentle fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and clothing the naked. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose a day to humble oneself? It is to bow down the head like bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor in your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us now read Psalm 112. Verses 1 through 9 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Today's second reading is from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though people such as the Corinthians are enamored with human philosophy and wisdom, Paul continuously presents God's hidden wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. True spiritual maturity involves judging others and others in light of God's revelation in the cross. St. Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is it written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed upon us by God. And we speak of these things in the words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite the children. I only see one. Callan, are you interested in coming, or have you got more important things to do?
Do you want
to
go up, or do you want to stay here? I'd like to stay here today.
Okay. That's just fine.
Yeah.
We'll talk another time. How would that be?
Callan, is that good to you?
I would rather be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. How many of you have had given thought to why you're here or how you got where you are today? Bill, what is it that brought you not just to Buffalo, but to each stage of your life? Because sometimes we don't think about that. When I was a kid, I asked a lot of questions. In fact, I've often thought that because of the questions I asked, that's why I became a pastor. I think I drove Mrs. Moose wild. She was my Sunday school teacher. And I would ask her questions that, you know, she wasn't a theologian. She was a housewife. And the questions that I asked were sometimes even over a pastor's head. Like, the one I asked was, "How big is God?" Now, how many of you have ever answered that question? You know, when I was 8 or 10, I could look up at the sky, and I could see at night the tiniest little star up there, and I thought, wow, if God created all this, well, how big is God? And that was before we even knew that the Hubble Space Telescope could see out into the universe. Universes that made our Milky Way look like little marbles. It's so vast, and I still ask that question, how big is God if God created all of that? And then we talked about Jesus, and I asked the question, well, why in the world would God sacrifice his son for me? Did you ever ask that question? Why would he care enough about me to sacrifice his own son for me? We got into confirmation class, and I kept asking questions, too. I've always been asking questions, I guess. The question I asked then, we were studying about the church, and I asked, well, what's the church for? Is it just to marry, bury, and baptize people? Don't need a church for that. I mean, any fool could go out and do that. What is the reason we have the church? It's those theological questions that kind of boggle our minds sometimes. I love that Penis comic strip in which Linus is all upset. He says, good grief, I can't believe it. My own sister said that she wishes I'd never been born. Never been born? Why, the theological implications alone are staggering. Well, you know, there are those questions and those times when we wonder, just what are we doing here? And does it really matter? Now, you may have heard this story before, but bear with me. Once upon a time, there was a prince who thought he was nothing at all but an ugly frog. Part of the reason was that a wicked witch had put a curse on him, so that all he thought he was an ugly frog. And the curse said that the only way it could be lifted is if a princess would kiss him. Now, how many people want to kiss a frog? After all, it's the most gross thing you can think about. So day after day, he went through being an ugly frog. And it wasn't very pleasing or very comforting at all. But one day, a beautiful princess came by, picked him up, and kissed him right on the lips. And bing, bang, boom, all at once, he is a beautiful, handsome prince again. Now, you probably have figured out that the meaning of all of that has something to do with what I'm talking about. And most of you know me well enough to know that it's probably a little convoluted. But the theological purpose of the church is, of course, and I'm sure most of you picked it up, the purpose of the church is to kiss frogs. Now, I can see in your faces that most of you no, you didn't know that. But that's what God calls us to do, is to kiss frogs. Because the whole world is full of frogs who don't know that they're handsome princes and princesses. And they just need somebody to give them that kiss. Now, Isaiah didn't put it in such beautiful theological terms. Isaiah knew that the people of God from almost the beginning had forgotten why they were called out of the wilderness with Abraham. When God called Abraham out of the wilderness, he said, I will bless you. And that's as far as their memory went. It stopped right there. But the full statement in Genesis 12 is, I will bless you in order that you may bless others. Oh, changes things. And Isaiah points that out to the people who have returned from exile in Babylon. And they are falling into the old trap of living their life the way they always did. And Isaiah says to them, you know, it's much easier to fast than it is to feed the hungry. Take care of the homeless and the naked. It's so much easier to do that than to be a blessing to others. In other words, to kiss frogs. And that's true even today. Some of you may know this song, or at least the refrain. Join me in singing it.
It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian than it is to live it all of your life. When you see a man at the side of the street who was left for dead by some thieves he didn't meet, it's much easier to walk right on by and just say, I'm a Christian on some days, but not today. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian than it is to live it all of your life. When someone you meet tries to treat you unfair, and he leans on you more than you care to bear, it's much easier to haul up and sock him and say, I'm a Christian on some days, but not today. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian than it is to live it all of your life. When your neighbor finds he's been laid off his job, and his wife and kids become a starving mob, it's much easier to turn on your heels and just say, well, I'm a Christian on some days, just not today. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian. It's much easier to be a part-time Christian than it is to live it all of your life.
Well, what Isaiah is trying to get at, too, is that it's so easy to get hung up on the externals of what it means to be a Christian. Well, back then, to be a good Jew. To be a good Jew, you go through the motions of fasting, and you put your tithe in, and you do all those external things. But you fail to keep the internal part. Christians do the same thing. We go through the motions of being Christians, but we forget that we got to keep feeding our soul with Bible study, with prayer, with meditation, with those things that make us one with Christ. And when we do that, if we settle on the externals and miss the internals, we actually miss the eternal. Think about that. You settle for the externals, we miss the internals and miss the eternal. It's the same kind of thing that Paul talks about when he talks to the Corinthian Christians. And he points out that he himself was a miserable frog. He was the least, in another passage he says, I was the least of all the apostles. I wasn't even fit to call an apostle. And yet, the Holy Spirit kissed me, the frog in me, and made me what I am. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great philosopher. I'm not a great anything. But this I know, he has called me to share the good news, to kiss frogs, in other words, to take care of those who are out there who don't know the love of God, who don't know that they're more than just an ugly frog, who don't know what it means to be loved by the sacrifice of the one who died for them. When Jesus comes on the scene, of course, he is talking to people who really think that they are worthless. Because the scribes and Pharisees have made it quite clear that unless you're one of us, you really don't count. But Jesus comes on the scene and he says, no, no, you are the salt of the earth. You are worth something. You are a handsome prince or princess. You are valuable in my kingdom.
You are the light of the world. Shine that light so others may see. Don't hide it. Share it. Because there are so many ugly frogs out there who need to know that if they looked in the mirror with the light of Christ, they were not ugly. They are beautiful in the sight of God. Beautiful enough that God would die on a cross for them. So I have an assignment for you today. Actually, for this week. I expect absolutely everyone here to go out there and kiss frogs. Now, come on. You know that in the world you live in the grocery store, at the senior center, at just about any place you can go in this town, you're going to find a bunch of ugly frogs. Or at least people who think that's all they are. They're wasted. They don't know the love of God that has been put inside them. Your job is to kiss them. Not literally. But if you want. I mean, if they're up to it, it's okay. That's not what I'm asking you to do. To kiss them with love. Kiss them with courage and confidence. Kiss them with the love that Jesus has for them. Let them know that they are the love of God's life. And that's the good news for today. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, get you beyond the externals, into the internals, so that you can share the eternal love of God. Amen.
For all, be my friends.
city too high. There's no mountain can cover its might. Let your light shine so that your loving works give honor and glory to God. Go, my friends, go to the world. Proclaim the great love of God. Messengers to tell the way of life, peace and pardon for all.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father.
Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven,
was incarnate of the Holy Spirit
and the Virgin Mary,
and became truly human.
For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Are there people you'd like to add to the prayers this morning? I have Brian. How do you pronounce the last name? Littrell?
Literally.
What?
Letterly.
Letterly. Okay.
And Brian Bowden.
Michelle and family.
Okay. Trusting that God hears us, we pray. The response to hear us, O God, is your mercy is great.
Holy God, it is your desire that all people might come to know you intimately. Lead our communities into deeper relationship with you. May your church radiate your righteousness to all whom we encounter. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of creation, you quench the dry ground, bringing water that sustains life. Satisfy the needs of all the earth, so that all living things bear witness to your verdant grace and continue to shout your praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of glory, during your time here on earth, you were crucified by powerful rulers who did not understand you. Grant leaders in our day wisdom and discernment, that they may recognize you in the lives of the people they serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of justice, you free us from the oppression that binds us and exhorts us to serve one another. Liberate us from all fear, bigotry, and greed, and set our hearts and minds on love, equality, and justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you reveal your saving love to us through the power of your Spirit. Bless those among us who are in need of your healing hand, especially
Brian Lettrell, Brian Bowden, Michelle and family, and those we name in our hearts before you.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all eternity, we give you thanks for the lives of the saints who have pointed to us toward faithfulness in you. May we trust in your endless mercy and grace, asking that you give a double measure of your love to the Joint Call Committee, Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare ask, we bring these prayers to you, believing in your saving grace revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Are you getting lots of kisses there,
yeah,
John?
You've
been.
Hey, friends, how are you? Nice to be with you.
Dreams of unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. At all times and in all places, offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he has shone forth to the nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him to be your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the
giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Us, a baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for you and me. Our sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. So every breath you drew was hallelujah. We look with hope for the coming, for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, and bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who
art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.